is opening day. Colorado Rockies getting set to go up against just the Dodgers. It's the way to start it. And I've already told you guys, my game of the week this week is this game. It's opening day. So for one, at least once this year, I'm going to say the Rockies is my game of the week. Drew Kreisman joining us from DNVR Rockies. Drew, always fantastic to have Mr. Kreisman on the show. All right, man, you got a lot of nervous energy out there. There's a lot of fans out there that, are still upset, still very upset, saying they're not going to watch, they're not going to listen, whatever. We're looking for some nuggets here, Drew. We're looking for some positives. Anything that you can give us that would lead Rockies fans to believe this season isn't going to be a dumpster fire? So far off to a pretty negative start there, but okay, we'll get there.
Let me do this with the caveat. I'll say one thing up front. I predicted the Colorado Rockies to win 70 baseball games this year.
Okay.
And I've only predicted them to win more games than they ended up winning twice, just to throw that out there. But if you are looking for silver linings, there's actually, like, pretty much every player on this roster has something interesting to look at, something to root for. Raimel Tapia is your new leadoff guy. Can he continue to hit over 300? Does that matter if he doesn't hit for power? How does he continue to develop as a fielder? Obviously, Trevor Story and Charlie Blackmon are amazing to watch every single day. You're taking those guys in. Josh Fuentes, how about him getting the start today at second base, first time in years, not Nolan Arenado at third? Who is it? Well, it's just his cousin. His undrafted, overlooked, never a top prospect cousin who's got absolutely everything to prove. If any of these guys should have a Hallmark movie made about him, it's him. There's C.J. Crone is a veteran who's been underlooked his entire career. Ryan McMahon, I think almost all of us believe he's got star power just waiting to burst out of there. And it's probably the best starting rotation the Colorado Rockies have ever had. So, if they're going to surprise people this year, they need to be incredibly healthy. They need to be a bit lucky. All of their young guys need to take a big step forward. And none of those things are impossible. They're just unlikely to happen altogether. But I do actually truly believe this is going to be a very fun team to watch, because there's a lot of guys who are either going to prove this year that they belong in the bigs, which is super cool and fun to watch guys prove that, or that they don't, which is going to be sad for them individually and frustrating for fans to watch a losing season. But then at least we'll know, and moving forward, the Rockies can have a more clean break into what should be their next era of baseball.
We're talking to Drew Kreisman of DNVR Rockies. Drew, you mentioned it, the health aspect, and that's one key ingredient here if the Rockies want to have any shot at all. Last week was kind of a rough week as we began approaching opening day. We heard the terrible news about Oberg. We heard tough news with Kyle Freeland and that side of it. What does the injury situation look like with some of these guys, and when can we expect them to come back? Scott Oberg, I mean, Drew, is he going to play baseball again?
Yeah, that one's really, really tough, and we just have to wait for the real medical experts to get back to us on Scott. And he's hoping he can pitch again, and maybe this year, but that you don't want to count too much on that or worry too much about that. I think Freeland and Rogers could be back within the month, which is good news. You hate starting the season without those guys, but it sounds like they can still have relatively full seasons. And that's really what this year is going to be about, those types of guys. You need to find out how big a part of your future Kyle Freeland and Brendan Rogers are. And the worst news actually isn't losing baseball games. Sorry, folks. It's more than likely going to happen. The worst news would be lost seasons from young players. You want to see what you've got in these guys, especially a guy like Brendan Rogers, who we've barely seen. Yeah. So, another guy to be excited about once he takes the field.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think, Drew, if Nolan was on this roster right now, because that's the elephant in the room, right? Nolan Arenado, it's a sad day. Everybody's feeling weird, even the ones that are going to the games. If he was on this roster right now, what do you think, like, the same roster, save for Nolan Arenado, is this still kind of a rough team? I mean, they were rough last year. It's 2 months. It was a weird season. But what would you say about this baseball team? How much of a difference would Nolan make on this group?
I think he would make a pretty big difference. He would kind of slide a lot of guys into the space. I've actually said this on our podcast a couple of times, and it frustrates me to do so. I'd actually talked about CJ Krohn as a really good potential acquisition for the Rockies for a couple of years, a power bat that can protect Nolan hitting like fifth. He's batting fourth today, I believe. So that's the kind of he and like Austin Gomber and some of these other additions they've made would have been perfect for a team with Nolan. Now I understand they got Gomber back for Nolan, but even something like the weird thing they just did, like I think at midnight last night, adding Jolys Chastain back to the roster.
Yeah,
like oh okay, I guess that's happening.
They made a move,
but even that, yeah, like it would make much more sense on a team that had Nolan Arenado on it. Because these are all very nice complementary pieces, Krohn and these guys, to a club that would contend. But these guys almost certainly won't be. So, yeah, I think he could make a huge difference. Would he make them automatic contenders, especially with these injuries, with Oberg going down in particular? That bullpen's going to be a gigantic question mark now. And so I think it relies more on that. But he certainly would have helped.
Yeah, no question about it. Drew, talk to us a bit about... So, Josh Fuentes, you talked about him for a moment there. It is kind of surreal, isn't it? It's kind of strange. I mean, one of the most beloved... I'm not even going to say Rocky. One of the most beloved Colorado sports figures in Nolan Arenado goes away. Drama, a lot of bad blood now. Rockies fans are still very, very upset. Well, his cousin gets to go in his place. Like, that's a pretty bizarre story if you think about it.
Yeah, right. Like if John Elway had been replaced by like Steve Elway or something.
It's strange.
Who had like never played for a top school or anything, and he just kind of was out there. But yeah, I mean, it really is a great story, and as tempting as it is, you know, to compare him to his cousin or talk about that connection, Josh really is his own man, and he's a great, great guy, really outgoing personality, really charming and charismatic. He's a phenomenal defender, which is something I think people are going to realize, and it's going to be hard not to make comparisons because he's over there at third base. He's really, really, really good with the glove. So if he, you know, can add with the bat, and it turns out he's just figured out something and none of the scouts or evaluators have seen it, and he can hit the way he did last year and through all of spring training, and part of the reason why he's in there batting second today, if it turns out he's a thing, this is an extraordinary find for the Rockies organization. And I know no one wants to give him credit for anything right now, and fair enough, but at least give Josh credit for the amount of hard work and determination it takes for all 30 teams in baseball to pass on you 30 times each, like through the entire draft. You know how many rounds there are in the major league draft? And so, you know, and then to no one pick up on him as a prospect, and there he is, opening day, third base for a major league baseball team. And who knows what the future holds for Josh Fuentes. We didn't know on opening day 2016 what the future held for Trevor Story. He was the Rockies' 10th best prospect. He struck out too much. He was a project on defense. You know, and then he hits two home runs day one against Zach Greinke, and we're just like, okay. So that's why they play the games.
Absolutely, my man. All right, Trevor Story, you mentioned it. What does it look like for Trevor? I mean, I got to admit, Drew, I'm going into this season like, oh, let's enjoy him while we have him. I guess in my brain, I've almost said my goodbyes, even though I'm still, you know, we're still going to watch Trevor Story throughout the season. But how long will he be a Rocky? How much longer?
That's the million-dollar or potentially like $27, $33 million question, isn't it? But there's three possible outcomes here. The worst possible outcome is the Rockies just let him play out the season, then he declares free agency, and they can't bring him back, and he's gone for nothing. You get a draft pick, but still, that's brutal. That could happen. I don't think it will. My partner, Patrick Lyons, does think it will. There's extending him, which I think would make Rockies fans very happy and would be a bit of good news. I think most people will realize that's pretty unlikely with where the team's at now. Maybe if they get off to a hot start, they smooth talk him just right. That's something to dream on. Or they trade him at the deadline, which is where I think is the most likely outcome. If the season isn't going well, they get something back for him. It'll be a tough pill to swallow. So like you said, enjoy him while you can. Appreciate him while you can. But also, you know, be ready to move into that next generation of of Rockies players.
Drew Kreisman joining us from DNVR Rockies. Drew, how you feeling, man? What is it like for you covering this Rockies team for so long? We've seen trades. We've seen players move on. It's nothing new. However, I think all of us agree, even those that are still optimistic and still excited to watch this team, we all agree that this one is a hurt that we have not been able to recover from. How you doing with everything?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually okay in a weird way. I was just telling my fiance. By the way, I got engaged.
Hey, congratulations, my man. I did see that on Twitter. I tweeted at you, but we want to do it officially here. Congratulations, my friend. That's amazing news.
I just haven't gotten used to saying the word yet. That was the first time I got it in the first try. That's very French and fancy. But yeah, I was just telling her this morning, that there's a. I actually feel surprisingly good because there's an odd lack of pressure on the team and on, my preseason predictions that they were going to be good in 17, 18, and 19. And so every time they lost a series, 100 people are mad at me on Twitter or, whatever it is. And it's just kind of like the players themselves. You're coming in with no expectations. No one expects them to be any good. We're planning on having silly fun with the season. If they suddenly surprise us, then we'll roll with it and we'll have fun with it. If it goes the other way, we'll enjoy those individual stories. We'll watch Josh Fuentes and Raimel Tapia and whatever Antonio Senzatella's got coming next and all of those kinds of things. So, I actually feel a surprising lack of pressure to live up to any kind of expectations or this analysis where I'm telling the whole world the Rockies are actually going to be decent and the whole world's going, no, they're not. And we fight about it all year. And I'm just I mean, they probably, yeah.
So, all right, all that being said, expectations. I saw what you tweeted, Drew. I saw it. Is this an April Fool's Day joke? Or what's the expectation for today, first pitch at 2:10?
Okay, well, for today, no. I actually feel good about this. Clayton Kershaw hasn't been the pitcher, you think of when you hear that name over the last couple of years. He struggled at Coors Field before. Marquez didn't have the best spring but has the ability to go out and throw an absolute gem. It could also be one of those games that just sort of gets away from those pitchers, turns into a Coors Field thing. But it really is, with all the energy of the home opener, it's a four-game set. It's, as good as the Dodgers are, no team is perfect. You drop games throughout the year. So losing one with – and oddly, they're starting the season with, their third or fourth best pitcher, which is how good the Dodgers are.
Right.
But still, it is. I think it's a game that the Rockies could go out there and steal. I'm not really saying, hey, yeah, they've got this. They're not. You shouldn't predict the Rockies to win any particular game at this point, especially against the Dodgers. But if they're going to steal one, this is the one, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and I definitely get that thinking too. We'll see, man. I mean, it's so many games, 162 games. I'll be curious if the Rockies do win today somehow. If a lot of Rockies fans don't say, "Hey, you know what? One game in, we're okay." And for the allotment that could go to the game today, right? They sold out.
Yeah. So I think we're gonna see a decent amount of that. People are just excited that baseball's back. We'll start seeing middle of the season. The fan apathy or frustration or outright anger ends up coming across in empty stadiums at all. But I think for the first little while here, people just want to go see some baseball and get outside and enjoy it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I can't fault anybody who wants to go and do that.
Yeah. No, I hear you, my friend. Drew, congratulations again, my friend. Very happy for you. And we look forward. Hey, like you said, we're going to have fun with this. We're going to be talking to you every single week throughout the season. And hey, maybe it'll be a positive conversation. If not, we'll transition and we'll talk Falcon and Winter Soldier or something, man. I mean, we'll just start changing gears.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right,
looking
my man.
Forward to it, man.
All right. Happy opening day. We'll see what happens and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
All right, Drew Kreisman, DNVR Rockies. And, Kolbs, he's saying, all right, 70. I'm going to go, what did he say, 74? Did he say 74? Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day, and I want your thoughts on this, Hulligans. The over-under for the Rockies is like 64.5 or something. So I just put up over-under 65 wins for the Rockies in 2021. What do you got, Colfax? Over 65 wins. You said it yesterday, didn't you?
I did, but I was just being snarky. I'll go 66 wins.
So you got the, you're taking the over.
I'll take the over.
You're taking
the,
well, you know, Pick Central, the show that airs at 5 o'clock on KFKA, they say always take the over. Always take the over. I don't know, you know, they do pretty good. 61%, however, of the hooligans are saying they're going with the under on this one. They're going with the under. I'm optimistic. I'm going to go over. Maybe not by much, but I am going over. I just don't, I don't know. Pitching, I like their pitching. I do. But all the questions we had last year, like about, oh, will John Gray ever, will he ever take over? Will he ever take that next step? Those are all still relevant questions. Now you're just questioning, now you don't have Nolan Arenado. Now you don't have a superstar. You have Trevor Story, but that's not for long either. That's going to be one of those things with every home run and every great play he makes, we're all going, ah, that's great, but, you know, he's gone. So 21 minutes after the hour, we will talk to Kelly Lyle, Colorado State news and information coming up at the bottom of the hour. What the Broncos are going to do at number 9. I got my deep thoughts from A Wandering Mind available for you to check out. And Chris Dempsey will join us in the second hour. We only are on till 1:30 today. Rockies coverage here on KFKA begins at 1:30 with the first pitch at 2:10. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Donate to the Live United 13 Tenathon by texting KFKA, all caps, to 26989. Give up to $100 and you could win a signed pair of Terrell Davis cleats. Thursday, April 22nd.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Opening day, Rockies Dodgers coming up here on KFKA. Coverage begins at 1:30 with the first pitch at 2:10. Clayton Kershaw in Coors Field, you know, isn't always individually great, but still finds ways to get wins. So, I get where Drew's coming from on this. They're probably going to be a bad baseball team. I think we can all kind of go there. There is some magic to opening day, though. You know, everybody's tied right now, Colfax. Everybody's tied up, and there's all this optimism out there, but it does feel different. They sold out, though. How many fans again? 21,000? Is that right? Something like that? 21,000 fans. Brady, they're going to see the Dodgers. That money, guess where it's going? I love that when people say, well, I'm going, but to support the other teams. Uh-uh. Your money is supporting Mr. Monfort. So, you know, if you're going to do a boycott, you can't do a boycott by still paying. But the money's still going in. I won't walk into Walmart. I'll have it delivered to me at my house. Boycotting Walmart. They don't care. The money's all the same to them. I mean, and if you, those of you that are knocking Dick Monfort and the Rockies, which I agree, I get it. You know, you're at this point, you know, where you're saying, okay, well, I'm so frustrated with him, and if we keep supporting him and the Rockies, they're going to just keep doing this. We have to start speaking loudly. So when I go to a Rockies game, instead I'm going to put a Dodgers jersey on. It doesn't matter. I don't. And again, if you're accusing Dick Monfort of not really caring, you know, just as long as he makes money, well, then does he care that you're wearing a Dodgers uniform, or does he care that you're cash cleared to get that ticket? It's funny to me when you hear that. So, no, sold out today. It's a party down there. Lodo is always such a great spot. I think the Rockies, honestly, at Coors Field, I think they do it better than almost anybody in the league as far as making a celebration. Is it going to be weird this year with the COVID stuff? Sure. But it will be strange seeing fans, won't it? Watching the Nuggets on Tuesday night was strange. There was a few fans there. Jamal Murray's giving everybody goosebumps, man. I mean, he's talking to the fans. He's pumping them up, and he's saying, you know, Katie Wingy asked him on altitude if he liked having the fans back. He had 30 points, and he goes, hey, what do you think? They rejuvenate me. The fans make me a better player. That was pretty cool. You want to hear that from your guys. And yeah, Jamal's like giving me goosebumps. I'm going to, you know, watch the game today here at the station, seeing fans in the stands. This game's on ESPN too, by the way. Not two, but as well. although I suggest keep it here on KFK and tune in. And then you can, if you're at home, if you're not at work today, or you do have a TV in the office, you know, mute it and then watch the game. Those are always my suggestions there. On the Rocks Liquor, they're celebrating their 10th anniversary, our game beer of the week. Colfax, do you still remember what it is?
Soulcraft Green Chili Ale.
You don't even need me anymore. Yeah. You don't even need me.
I have some in my fridge right now, so.
Oh, yeah?
It's a good beer.
Is it, like,
it's solid?
Great Colfax approved type beer?
Absolutely.
Green Chili Ale. Pick up selections from Soulcraft or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. That's On the Rocks Liquor. This liquor store has been a supporter of the whole show since we started this thing. Years ago, we were under a different name. We didn't have the great Colfax even with us, but On the Rocks Liquor started with us, and they've been with us ever since. So, folks, if you like this show, if you're a fan of the whole show, if you're a fan of anything KFK, you know, we ask you, we almost beg you, try these local businesses first. You know, maybe they're not your cup of tea at the end of the day, but we ask you to try. Thank them for supporting live and local radio throughout northern Colorado. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. Also, they have Molly Brown Spirits from Denver, bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey. That's available only up here at On the Rocks Liquor. What to do with number 9? I put together my deep thoughts from a wandering mind. It is available at thewholeshow.com. You guys can see kind of my board for the Broncos, the top 5 guys in the draft for me. Basically, go down the line. They're on my board. If Parsons is there, snatch him. If he's not, Patrick Surtain is, pick him up. Caleb, and then you go down the list. I do have my unlikely move that Denver could trade 2 first-round picks, including number 9, and a third-rounder to move up to number 4 at Atlanta's spot to get Justin Fields. Now, Atlanta, the question with them is, are they ready to start replacing Matt Ryan? Or, you know, get a guy behind him for a year or two, and I don't have Matt Ryan's contract up in front of me, but get a guy behind him and have the successor ready, or do they say, you know what, we like Matt Ryan still, we think he has a lot left in the tank, we're going to just keep working to build around him. This draft is very intriguing. You know, I don't know at the end of the day how these guys will all work out, how these quarterbacks will all work out, but, you know, at the end of the day, this is going to be a pretty entertaining draft as far as how it all breaks down. I was going back and forth with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. I said, is there any way that Fields drops to 9? Because for some reason, his stock feels like it's going down. Mac Jones' stock's going up. Justin Fields' stock's going down. And he said, I would be surprised if Fields drops. Though he did say, I thought McShay was crazy for the Broncos passing on him. Todd McShay comes out and has Fields going past 9-10. So going later, if Justin Fields is there at 9, which again, I didn't even put him on my board, Colfax, because I don't see that happening. I don't think that's happening. But I mean, even if he's not, Justin Fields to me is the kind of guy that's, if he's not on your board, it's because you assumed he was too good to be on your board. And then when he is there, you take him. Also, get this. If 5 quarterbacks go in the top 10, which I believe that could be a realistic possibility, if 5 quarterbacks go in the top 10, I think it would be a record. Talking to Zach Stevens, I asked him this morning, and he said, I think it would be a record. In 1999, I believe 5 quarterbacks were taken in the top 12, which could happen. I could see 4 quarterbacks going in the top 10 for sure. No doubt about it. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, 1 and 2 right there. Justin Fields, I thought he was top 10. Now I'm seeing all this talk about dropping out. Trey Lance, Mac Jones. Mac Jones, now we're talking about him, you know, really taking up his stock really going up. Trey Lance, that's a question mark for me. The FCS thing's still scary. I know his stats are amazing, but it is what it is. 31 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll catch up with Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and which unit for the Colorado State Rams football team could be one of the best in the conference next season. We'll talk to Kelly about that. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-six minutes after the hour, welcome back. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, and joining me on our First Advantage Hotline, as he does every single Thursday, Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, I was reading your article the other day about the defensive line spot perhaps being one of the best, if not the best, in the Mountain West Conference. Is this going to be what we kind of can learn to expect from Coach Addazio's crew? Is, you know, the defensive line, the offensive line, we're going to have really tough and gritty linemen for this team. Maybe not the flashiest guys on the roster, but we're going to be looking at a tough-nosed football team for the most part.
Well, certainly that's what Steve Addazio wants to develop. That's the identity he hopes his Colorado State teams are going to have moving forward. That's the identity he felt his Boston College teams had to an extent. Yes, I think instead of talking about, you know, wide receiver you and who's going to go where in the NFL draft among all these talented receivers, we're probably going to be looking at these pass rushers on the D-line and, you know, the Scott Patchens and the Manny Jones and those guys and go, okay, well, you know, boy, these guys are among the best in the country at rushing the passer, and they've got a pretty solid run defense. And then in turn, that's going to make that offensive line that goes up against them in practice every day better too. I mean, the players have talked some about that. John Budmeyer talked about it earlier this week, the new offensive coordinator, about going up against those guys is certainly, you know, making his unit, his what's really a veteran O-line now. These are all of last year's guys are back on that O-line, and they've got a little bit more depth behind them, better as well. So, yes, I think that's what we're going to, you know, instead of seeing these teams that, might win or lose a game 55-42, I think all of a sudden Colorado State fans are going to be a little bit more like what Wyoming fans have gotten used to in recent years. And that is, you're happy with a 21-17 victory where your lines just kind of gutted it out and got you the win.
Kelly, how do you think Rams fans feel about this? I know you hear from a lot of Rams fans, on a daily basis, whether that's through social media or what have you. And again, at the end of the day, Kelly, if Addazio can win this type of football in this type of style, then nobody's probably going to care, or they shouldn't. But right now, is there still a lot of hesitation? And we did get to see Addazio in a couple of games last year, but is there still a concern amongst some of the Rams fans out there that maybe they don't want to see this type of transition? Maybe they liked the wide receiver U style.
Well, I think it's a classic. If you're going to win, people are fine with whatever style you play, but if you're going to lose, they'd rather watch you score a lot of points while you lose. I think that's what, for Mike Bobo's teams lost a lot of football games, but they put up a lot of points. They put up a lot of yards in the process. And I do think Colorado State fans, I think fans anywhere would probably rather see a high scoring bad team than a low scoring bad team. At the same time, ultimately they all want to back a winner. So, if, you know, those defenses start winning games, Sonny Lubick's teams didn't put up huge numbers on offense. They won with defense. They had phenomenal defenses. They had good offenses, don't get me wrong. I mean, they had some very talented offensive players, but they weren't scoring 40, 50 points a game. They were scoring 25, 28, and holding opponents in the teens or less. And, you know, they won. Ultimately, winning cures all complaints from your fans. But in the short term, if there's going to be a lot of grumbling because people are going to miss watching Warren Jackson and Preston Williams and B.C. Johnson and Rashard Higgins and all these great Michael Gallup, all these guys catching the deep balls and the big third down plays. And, you know, it's going to be much more, hey, it's third and five and Trey McBride just caught a 6-yard pass. Yay, first down, we're moving. It's going to be way different than, hey, Preston Williams just caught a 60-yarder and all of a sudden we're back in this game.
And that's the thing. Like me, like I think I've told you this, Kelly. Me personally, I like that style. I kind of like this tough, gritty, hard-nosed football team that's going to run the football, get a few yards here and there, work their way down the field, but play great defense. And I don't know. I mean, it is exciting to see the big points, but as bad as. And I think we can agree collectively, Kelly, the defense, maybe outside of last year, the defense was pretty rough there for a while. We saw some strides last season under Addazio, but for the most part, Colorado State's defense has been pretty average to below average the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I think so. Defense has been really pretty atrocious in a lot of ways over the last few years. And so we did see some improvement in that abbreviated 2020 season. I almost hesitate to call it a season, the 4-game sample of a season that we saw. But, if they can continue those trends, I do think that history has shown that, you know, defense is still more critical to winning football than offense. As far as championship caliber teams, usually still have solid defenses. Now, that's not to say that you're not going to see these Alabama and Ohio State teams put up 40, 50 points and give up 25 or 30, but those defenses are still very good defenses. They just happen to be going against very, very talented offenses when they get into these playoff situations. I think that if you look at the history of the Mountain West, the defenses are what are winning football games. Boise State wasn't winning titles with its offenses in the Mountain West. It was winning by having the best defenses. San Diego State teams that won titles, those were some good defenses. San Jose State last year won the Mountain West because it had a really good defense. So I think that is the, you know, and again, Sonny Lubick's teams won because they had great defenses. He had been a defensive coordinator, and he brought that mindset to the program and continued it.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And what has stood out to you? And Kelly, forgive me, I don't know the parameters as far as what spring ball looked like for media members. I know we're, you know, I'm getting the Zoom conferences and all that stuff today, but you know, just from your learnings and what that looks like and things you're hearing, what anything particular pop up in your brain as far as things that might stand out aside from perhaps the defensive line that we already discussed?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I had my only access to Colorado State football this spring was the same as you, through Zoom interviews. I actually went about midway through. I went one morning and just drove by to make sure they were actually on the practice field and this wasn't all just made up and they were telling us they were doing this. I'm like, you know, there's a part of me, I just need to confirm that they're really doing it and they're not just telling us a bunch of lies. They were out there. They were practicing. They were on the practice field on a relatively cold morning after a snowfall. And so at least on that day, it was legit. But the thing I keep hearing from players is a real focus on fundamentals, both sides of the ball, the offensive players, the defensive players, that really a back to basics kind of approach to football this spring. And I think every coach tries to do a little of that in the spring. It sounds like these guys really pushed it even harder than some of these players were expecting or were used to. But talking today to Trey McBride and Scott Patchen after the final practice, they feel like that was exactly what this team needed. They felt like that's what, you know, and those are two star players, but they felt like that's what the team overall needed to get better. They figure it will definitely help on some of those special teams issues that were such a problem last year. They said that was a lack of focus, lack of attention, guys not following their fundamentals. And they think it's going to help a lot, too, in depth and just having more quality players who can contribute this year rather than just, you know, two or three stars and then a bunch of guys behind them that you cringe whenever they're involved in a play.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, on the media side, is this, I mean, again, everything's COVID related. However, do you see football, the football side of things with Adazio and the media side, do you see practices getting a little bit tighter, even more strict than perhaps they already were?
I think we've been seeing, yes, every subsequent coach since Sonny Lubick has tightened up our ability to watch practice, to see it. There's this tremendous paranoia these coaches have out there. And it's kind of funny because the best coaches in the country don't really have that paranoia.
Right.
But every other one does. They're all convinced that, you know, the reason Nick Saban wins football games is because he doesn't allow people to watch his practices. I would venture to say, no, that just happens to be something that he also does. You know, everybody's got roughly the same plays. Everybody's putting 11 players on one side of the ball and 11 on the other. Execution's what it's all about. You've got to be able to execute in the moment. You've got to be able to make that play when it matters. As Mike Bobo used to say, you've got to be able to beat your man one-on-one. I mean, that's how football works. And the coach's job is to figure out what that team does best, what those players do best, and try to use it to your advantage over what your opponent does best and their players do best. I think these closed practice things are stupid. I always have. I guarantee you Sonny Lubick does. He and I have talked about it many times in recent years. But it is the way of the future, unfortunately. You know, the NFL is seriously, you know, their practices are far more restrictive. I think COVID gave everybody an excuse to close off what limited access they were already allowing. And I fear there may not be a whole lot moving forward for fans or media to be able to actually watch their team in anything but games.
Yeah, no, I had a feeling on this last year, too, wondering, man, is this going to be that final nudge to kind of give that teams the excuse and then basically say, hey, we're just not going to go back, which is unfortunate because Kelly, we're going to get information from Zoom meetings and stuff. And we only got so much information from practice anyway, but there were times you got a feel and you would see coaches maybe lose it on a player. I mean, you might see stuff like that I doubt is going to be hand fed to reporters in the future. So there were little things that you could pick up by going to, even when we, you know, it was pretty tight even last year, but or 2 years ago, just going to practice. But there were still things you could pick up.
Yeah, and I think the bigger picture issue with it is it's going to make it, you know, at a time when we're trying to really push athletes' rights and athletes are speaking out more, you know, this closing off access to them makes it that much easier for coaches to, you know, for these bad egg coaches with abusive behavior, the Larry Eustaces of the world, you know, coaches like that to do whatever they want in these closed environments without anybody holding them accountable, and players to be singled out if they speak out for, you know, I mean, you know, you hear players talk about who ratted, who snitched on coach. It's like those terms should never, ever be used in a sports setting.
Yeah.
You know, that not in a serious manner, maybe in a joking manner about, you know, who ratted on him for, you know, putting some gag or something, but not in a serious manner. You know, these guys should be, they're being paid millions of dollars. They should be held accountable, and they should be treating the athletes with respect. You can be a very, very good coach and treat your athletes with tremendous respect. There are so many examples out there that anybody that says otherwise, I would dispute. You find me the examples. And so that's the part that bothers me the most is, I think that the more things are done in secret like this, the easier it's going to be for some of those bad eggs to get worse and to thrive in a business that they don't belong in the first place.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you, my man. Kelly, always appreciate your insight, and we'll see if there's any updates, anything popping up for us next week. We'll catch up with you Thursday.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Kelly Lyle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And Colvex, we need to take a break. We are doing the Thursday night special in the next segment because Colfax, you're leaving a little bit earlier. We're off at 1:30 for the Rockies pregame stuff. So we're going to do Thursday night special coming up next. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Donate to the Live United 1310-a-thon by texting KFKA, all caps, to 26989. Give up to $100 and you could win a signed pair of Terrell Davis cleats. Thursday, April 22nd.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thursday, not so special. Yes, it is Thursday, folks. One of our favorite days of the week. Definitely top seven. Definitely top five. All right, Colfax. You got baseball going on all over the place, man. Toronto and New York, 2-2 in the top of the sixth. Cleveland, Detroit. Detroit's up 3-0, top of the fifth. It's rolling. Rockies start up at 2:10. Our coverage here on KFKA begins at 1:30. Going up against the Dodgers. I don't know why I say it like that. I just like to say it like that. Kershaw. Marquez. Boy. Rockies fans, you are so sad still. Although, sold out. Well, a lot of Dodgers fans, I get that. Still supporting Mr. Monfort. Still supporting him. All right. I don't think it's going to be a good season for Colorado. I really don't. I don't think anyone does. Our Power to Play Sports poll question, over under 65 wins for the Rockies in 2021. Most of you are saying, well, yeah, 57% saying under. Vote at thewholeshow.com. I think they get over. I think they go over 65 wins. And Colfax, I think one of those wins is today.
Hold on to your butt.
Oh! Now, you watch. I assume any reference he makes is Game of Thrones.
Yeah! Oh,
that rush, high and deep left field. Take a good look. You will see it for long.
To the Rocky fans, I'm not leaving. I just want you guys to know I'm back.
Oh,
and I couldn't be happier to spend, hopefully, the rest of my career in Denver.
The fountains. She's gone.
She's gone.
His father, right? And he's going to have
Let's
a double.
Go.
You see guys get hot, Huey, but rarely do you see guys get Charlie Blackman hot.
Charlie Blackman hot? That's all I need. Oh, Charles.
But once I heard that it was done, I was, you know, thrilled. You know, I'm very excited to join this team.
Heck yeah.
This is a high fly ball, deep center field. Did Charlie get enough for this?
We still got the beard, baby.
Off the very top of the
world. We still got the beard.
Here's Story. At home.
You know, Story it's a bittersweet time. Moment, right? You know, I'm going to miss some of the board on the Rockies. You know, I got to know them, but
emotional.
Coming to a team like St. Louis with great players,
don't say
history, that. It was, you know, I'm just super excited.
I just. I always wanted to be a
Cardinal.
The joke there, of course, years ago, Colfax and I said Jon Snow and Nolan Arenado, they look very similar. They look like the same dude, kind of, right?
Yeah, and then Drew asked him.
Drew asked him about that because we brought Drew on the show and said, "Hey, can you ask Nolan, who was like at it was like before a game, and he just said, "Hey, people think you look like Jon Snow. What do you think?" And I don't think Nolan had watched it at that point, but he looked at a picture or something. He's like, "Yeah, I guess I can see
yeah,
that.
I think so.
Yeah,
but
well done, well done, Colts.
I was proud of that one.
That was a great job.
Thank you.
That was fantastic." Yeah, I'm going a little crazy today. I'm going a little nutty. Because, Colfax, listen, this is my game of the week. Let's face it, this could be the last time in 2021 the Rockies are on my game of the week. We'll see. You know, if they're bad, they're never going to really have a game of the week. That's the way it goes. Game of the week usually means it's two teams that are, you know, that I'm interested in watching. And there's meaning to the game. And if they're terrible, they're 0-10, I'm not going to put them on the list a lot. And let's face it, probably not going to predict this team to win a lot. I just figure if you're going to do it, it's going to be on opening day. Germán Márquez gives you your best shot to win. And Clayton Kershaw is not the Clayton Kershaw that we're used to seeing, at least the last year and a half or so. And he does struggle mightily at Coors Field. Finds ways to win, but struggles mightily. I know, Hooligans are freaking out right now. Yeah, you're bummed out. You don't agree with it, but I suppose this is why they play the game, Colfax. Most of you can't name anybody on their, you know, more than like four players on the roster. Now that you can. This would be the same roster, just without Nolan Arenado. Second hour coming up next. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.